Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Young Hollywood.
Okay, so why we're here, this is Howie's makeup chair. Howie, do not move right here, Howie. We cannot touch his area. I'm actually too close to his area right now. And if Wendy, the makeup lady, catches me, I'm going to be in big trouble. But this is his area, and as you see here, there's a lot of airborne, immunity defense. I mean, anything that will fight off germs is on his stand right here because he's a germaphobe and he's crazy. We love him. So this is where he gets his head buff, as you can see right here. He really gets his head buff. They bring in the thing every morning. They buff his head, make it all shiny.
Don't you love behind the scenes? All right, so much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you today by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook at www.audiblepodcast.com/Mr. Media, MR Media. You'll find more than 60,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player at audiblepodcast.com/MR Media. So where was I before the commercial? Oh, yeah. Mr. Media is recorded live from the world's new media capital and hometown of actors Angela Bassett, Patrick Wilson, and Monica Raymond, St. Petersburg, Florida. No disrespect to Howie Mandel, but in moving on from Deal or No Deal to share a pivotal scene in Iron Man 2 next month with Robert Downey Jr., former number 10 suitcase model Anya Monzikova has most definitely traded up. Anya, a classic Hollywood beauty who was born in Russia and raised in Plantation, Florida, is a stunning young blonde whose eyes tease you into thinking she knows a whole lot more than you do. And even if she doesn't, you'll believe she does. Iron Man 2 wasn't even her first memorable film gig, by the way. She was also the face of the beautiful women in Jonathan Moscow's thriller Surrogates, starring Bruce Willis. Now, I suspect it's an exciting time to be Anya, and I certainly plan to find out if I'm right. Anya, welcome to Mr. Media.
Well, hello. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. How are you today?
I'm good. Getting a late start this morning.
That's all right. Well, we'll talk about Iron Man in a minute, but I got to ask you about Deal or No Deal. Was that a fun show to be on?
Oh, my God, yeah. It was a blast. I love the little clip of Lindsay Klubine there giving this the presentation of our makeup room. It was a fun show. You know, for me, at that time in my life, I was going to college, and I was just about to transfer from community college into a university, and I ended up booking Deal or No Deal and was like, okay, I'm going to put my education on hold and join the cast of Deal or No Deal and getting to work on the show. And I worked on the show since the beginning. It became like my college experience. It was totally the sorority type of experience for me, and I loved all the girls and I had a blast, so...
How many shows or how long were you actually on there?
I was there from the very beginning till the very end. We did over 250 episodes, I believe, somewhere around that.
Oh, my God. I had no idea. I didn't realize it had been that many shows.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, going on almost, it was almost 4 years. We had four full seasons. So we had a really good run, and the popularity of the show, it was kind of bizarre that it ended the way it did because, for us, we were number one rated show at that time on NBC. So for it to end, it ended abruptly for us. So it was a little bit of a surprise. But, you know, I have really fond memories of it. So.
Was it difficult? I mean, boy, they're all the suitcase models, all these beautiful women, you among them. Was it hard to get noticed in that group? I mean, because everyone stood out.
Yeah, you know, that's, I think, the great thing about Deal or No Deal was that it was such a melting pot, and it was like an assortment of chocolates. You know, you have every different flavor. So the producers did a really good job of casting very different girls from different ethnicities to different personality types, and really just it made it very, like, a variety of girls, and it makes it interesting because everyone can relate to different girls, and you have your pickings.
And you were there for the full run then. What about other girls? Did other models come and go, or were a lot of the women there the whole time?
Yeah, you know, we did. We had a few that were switched out. So there was, like, I think about the first season, we had a full run of girls, and then I believe they changed a few out. And there just seemed to be more and more dropping like flies towards the end of the show. So, you know, yeah, they did switch out girls. So I was lucky that it didn't get switched.
Well, what do you suppose, or what do you know, what would cause someone to be let go from a show like that? I mean, there's not a lot of talking, obviously. Is it you're not displaying the suitcase properly? Or what would be the reason that someone would, you know, move on or be let go?
You know, I don't know the reasons behind it. All I know is just sad when all of a sudden the next day you show up and one of your best friends isn't there. No.
Sounds like a soap opera.
I know, it really, it is. The, you know, television world, it is so dramatic. And I don't know. Sometimes it's the contractual issues. Sometimes it's just a matter of schedule. So, you know, I don't think that it was anything that the girls did wrong, per se. You can't really mess that up.
Did you then, do you now get recognized a lot as suitcase model number 10, or do people actually know your name at this point for that?
Most people do know my name by now. But yeah, from the show, I was always, you know, number 10, so the number follows me around.
It would be fun. Now, and why do that? Is it because it's a modeling opportunity, or is it an opportunity to be in Hollywood, be seen, and maybe have something come from that? And while you're answering that, did work come from that?
You know, I think it's a little bit of everything. A combination of, yeah, you get your foot in the door, you're on a primetime network show that's so popular. So it definitely got us out into the public and built a fan base, and people got to know you and became interested in you. We had a lot of things like on the web where we did like model theater and a lot of behind the scenes stuff and lots of publicity. So it got your foot in the door and gave you experience being a part of such a big production, having the experience on set. You know, it all works hand in hand, and work begets work. So, you know, definitely other opportunities came up from it, and it was, you know, it's a dream to be a part of such a big show. But now I think it's the natural progression of going on into the next thing. So you don't want to pigeonhole yourself, and you want to continue to grow as a person, and for me as an actor. So hopefully I get into more character type roles rather than TV personality.
Right. Well, here's what I'd like to do. I want to talk to you about this next thing that you're doing, but first I've got a clip from a preview of Iron Man 2, and I want to play that, and then let's talk a little bit about that, okay?
Sounds good.
All right.
Oh, it's good to be back.
The Notary's here.
Front and center.
I'm sorry. Very eccentric.
I want one.
No.
If you can make God bleed, people will cease to believe in him. There will be blood in the water. And the sharks will come. All I have to do is sit here and watch. There's a world that will consume you.
Our priority is to get the Iron Man weapon turned over to the United States of America.
I am Iron Man. The suit and I are one.
Contrary to popular belief, I know exactly what I'm doing.
What?
What I saw you do to Tony Stark on that track?
Wow.
You need my resources.
I want to make Iron Man look like an antique.
this whole lone gunslinger act's unnecessary. You don't have to do this alone.
Textbook narcissism. Agreed?
And folks, the movie, of course, is Iron Man 2. It opens May 7th. Anya, tell folks the role that you have in this film. I know it's not a huge role, but tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, I play a small character called, her name is Rebecca. It's really small, but it's in a really big, fun scene. So I'm excited to see what happens, what's going to come out of it, definitely. A lot of action. It's going to be a really fun feature. I love the first one, so I'm really looking forward to see the second.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that when it starts off, Tony Stark is on top of the world, then pretty soon he gets beat up, his ego gets beat up, he comes back in the end, beats somebody else up, and the movie ends. I'm going to break it down to that.
Isn't it all action films about the same?
Oh, now you're taking away from me. Here I was trying to build myself up like I could predict what the movie would be like. How did you get the role?
I auditioned and then I got a call actually very last minute saying that I got the part. So, I'm stoked.
And does the part call on? I've read some references to. You had a bit of a Russian experience on the set. Your background, you were born in Russia. Does that have something to do with the character?
No, my character is not Russian at all.
It's
an American girl by the name of Rebecca. but no, I did. What you're relating to is when I was on set, John asked me to do some translating. He knew that I was Russian, and Jon Favreau, the director. Asked me to just translate a little bit for Scarlett Johansson's character. She plays the Black Widow. So I got to do a little bit just by chance of being at the right place at the right time, doing some dialect coaching for her and translating some lines into Russian for one of the her little scenes in the same scene that I'm in. So being a part of that and getting to contribute a little bit more behind the scenes as well was really cool for me because, you know, everything is a learning experience. And, hey, having Jon Favreau, the director, at his level ask my opinion was pretty surreal.
Hmm. And right now there are guys all across America who are envisioning Anya Montsikova and Scarlett Johansson in a room together going over lines in Russian. And they're just like, oh, my God. Oh, only in Hollywood.
Only if it was that sexy. Oh, it's not all that glamorous.
Oh, that's sad. All right, tell us then, how unglamorous was that moment? You might as well burst our bubble.
Well, I was sweating bullets because I was nervous. I'm sure. you're on a large set, and I think it was definitely very exciting. I'm not going to take away from that. Being a part of such a big blockbuster and a big production like Iron Man 2. I mean, yeah, it was a joy to be on set and a joy to work with that caliber of cast. So, yeah, I mean, definitely a dream come true for me.
I imagine it would have to be. I mean, you're not new to Hollywood, but this is a pretty big, this is a huge production, a $100, $200 million production, I'm sure. And, you know, a lot of the principals have worked together on the previous film. You're coming in, you know, for, I think it was you were in there for a week or two. Is that right?
Yeah, I was only there for like about a week and a half, 2 weeks. And even just getting to see those people at work and seeing Robert Downey Jr. on set and Gwyneth Paltrow, like, you know, getting to watch them act, you take away so much from that experience. So I've definitely grown in the last year since that film, and confidence-wise, as an actor, you just kind of get inspired and want to continue to do what you do. So,
Who was in the scenes with you, or scene?
It's a large scene. There was like 100 extras. And
okay.
Robert Downey Jr., Don Cheadle, Gwyneth Paltrow, Scarlett Johansson, myself, a friend of mine, Helena Mattson, and Olivia Munn. So, and then there was a bunch of extras as well. So,
very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. I read that you were raised, changing gears a little bit, that you were raised by a single mom. I also think I heard that your mom is visiting with you even as we speak. How does she feel about your career? Is she excited? Is she nervous?
I think she's more nervous. My mom, you know, coming over here in her 40s from Russia, we came over together, and she's got the language barrier, and me growing up here, you know, I lost my accent. So she's like, I want to take her to red carpet events, and I want to do this and that. And she's just like, no. Like, she's the complete opposite of me. She's completely an introvert, very shy, turns bright red when she's like, embarrassed or shy. So she totally hates the spotlight. She doesn't want anything to do with it. She's shaking for me. She's like so nervous for me because she's like, oh my God, I don't know how you do this. And she's really excited and really, you know, I guess proud. And I'm proud to make my mom proud. So it's good.
I'm guessing it must have been a little unnerving for her, for you to want to go off to Hollywood and you know, become a star and do all that kind of stuff. And that would be, I'm guessing, somewhat removed from her experience back at home, or even, you know, even in Florida.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think my mom, I prepped her pretty well during my high school year, that as soon as high school was over, I was going to be off and doing my thing and pursuing my dreams. I think I've always just kind of been a performer. She knew I danced and did theater and loved the performing arts. So she knew I was either going to go to New York or Los Angeles. She just didn't know when, and she probably thought it was going to be sooner than it was. So I think I prepped her pretty well. But, yeah, she's definitely excited that, you know, that I'm following my dreams and doing what I love, because I could never see myself sitting behind a desk working an office job. But it's definitely not my personality. But
Now, even in Hollywood, where it seems like the most beautiful young women in the country, around the world for that matter, turn up, you still have to stand out. I mean, you have this is going to sound ridiculous, but I mean, you have very striking looks. The hair, the face, it's just very classic Hollywood. And so I have to ask you, your mom, I'm imagining the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, as they say.
No, my mom is, I'm telling you, a lot more pretty, like gorgeous. And she was my age. She looked a little bit like a mixture between Cameron Diaz and Charlize Theron. She definitely has the looks. I mean, my mom's gorgeous. So anyone would say that about their mother, but my mom, like, I look at photos of her going, wow, like, you should have been in Hollywood back in the day. She definitely would have been one of those, you know, classic Grace Kelly type stars. So thank you, Mom.
Well, and I'm glad you said Charlize Theron, because I keep looking at your picture thinking, I've seen that face. That's, I mean, you look like Charlize Theron.
Oh, thank you. That's a really nice compliment. I love her as an actress, and she's definitely gorgeous. So,
So what do you do when you're not acting? I had read a while back, anyway, you were going to school, or maybe you mentioned school. Is school in the picture? Are you modeling full-time, acting? What are you doing?
Well, right now I'm solely focused on acting. It's been pilot season here. The pilot season's done now, but during that time it's you audition tons, and I've been going out a lot for pilots and ended up actually booking a small pilot presentation called Nat and Olga. So my main focus has been that, and we've been shooting and doing shooting teasers for it and doing all the pre-production work. So that's really been it right now. As far as school, I don't think I'm going to go back as of now. I'm just way too busy to and focus on work, but, you know, definitely would love to learn more about the production side of it, because that's what I ended up going to college for, is film production. And there's just no comparison of what you can learn from books to actual experience on set. So, you know, I think it's almost, I wouldn't say pointless to go back, but, you know, I definitely learn a lot more being on set and being in that creative environment. Also, my fiancé is a DP, so we're collaborating on different projects like short films and stuff. So I'm kind of learning as I'm going and throwing myself into that work. And I think that's probably where I'll be as far as going back to school. I'm not sure, but
okay.
I don't rule it out for sure. But.
All right. Well, that's good. All right. Well, look, last question, and we're going to rule out your fiancé. He cannot be an answer to this question, okay, because that would be too easy an out for you. So here's the question. You can only take one man with you on the Ark to propagate the human race. Howie Mandel, Robert Downey Jr., or me, Mr. Media. Who's it going to be?
I don't know. You can't put me on that spot. I definitely would take my fiancé, but since you ruled it out, I guess I would say I haven't seen a photo of Mr. Media, but you've been great conversations, so Mr. Media it is.
Great answer. Great answer. All right. Because of that, folks, listen. Now I'm blushing. Folks, you can see the beautiful Anya Montsikova on screen in Iron Man 2, opening at movie theaters around the world, literally, on May 7th. And you can check out her page on MySpace. It's myspace.com/AnyaMontsikova.
No, that's down. I don't have a MySpace anymore.
Oh, really? I was just looking at it. I guess it's still there, but you're not updating it. Is that what you're saying?
I think that's probably an impersonator.
Oh, okay. In that case, where can people find you?
I have a fan page on Facebook. That's sort of the only thing. I'm so not up to date on any of that stuff. I don't Twitter. And I guess there's a Facebook page. I'm going to have a website up soon. I had to take mine down due to craziness before. But I'll have my website up, and then you could join me on my Facebook page. So.
Very good. Okay. Well, Anya, first of all, thank you for choosing me for the ARC. I'm flattered. I know that there are so many great guys out there to choose from, and you chose me, and that you will always be dear to me for that. And thank you. Thank you so much for joining us on Mr. Media today, and continued good luck to you.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Take care.
Bye-bye.
And for more interviews with your favorite TV and film stars, you can surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with Kirk Douglas, Billy Bob Thornton, Ted Raimi, Nathan Fillion, Christian Slater, Alicia Cuthbert, Ali Sheedy, and many more. And please take advantage of this great offer for Mr. Media radio listeners. Go to www.audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, that's www.audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia for your free audiobook. And subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. And you can follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman or facebook.com/andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give up a little piece of your day and come spend it with us. Thanks for listening, everybody.